Carlos Santana, how are you?
I'm very grateful and very happy.
Good, good. That sounds great. So you are, without a doubt, on the Mount Rushmore of guitar players in the history of music. And when I think of Carlos Santana, I think of that sound. More than probably anyone else, you have a distinct sound that is all your own. Where does that come from?
Oh, thank you for asking. It comes from my mother and my dad and my father. But at the same time, it's an accumulation of a lot of sound resonance vibrations I picked up in this incarnation, like the voice of Billie Holiday or the sound of B.B. King, Tito Puente. You know, I just try to mix it all up like a gumbo, and then I put my finger in it, and I taste it, and it tastes like me. It sounds like me.
I like that. Your father was a musician, correct?
Yes.
Was your family happy about you deciding to go into a musical career, or were they reluctant?
Oh, no, they were totally encouraging in every way. My father and his father and his father, we're all been musicians, so it's not a profession for us. It's a way of life.
A lot of stuff to talk about here. Let's start with the new album, Africa Speaks, which is out June 7th. You worked on this album with Rick Rubin. How did that relationship come about?
You know, this is a very good word to put on the radio. It's called ASP. We aspire to do something with him. You know, some people desire and some people aspire. And we aspire to create African music with Mr. Rick Rubin and the goddess Buika, of course, my wife, Cindy Blackman Santana, and the Santana Band. And lo and behold, when you aspire from the center of your heart, the universe gives it to you.
What is it like working with him? Was he hesitant to go into working with you on an African music album?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, he was curious what was my passion. And so I gave him an iPod, a small touch iPod with about 50 African songs that I wanted to do from different parts of Africa. And he took it to Hawaii, where he was spending time with his wife, who at the time was pregnant. He was driving around the island, and he heard his music, and then he immediately called me and says, I'm in. This is great. Let's do this. There's something very divinely infectious and magnetic about African music because it reminds you on a molecular level of your own greatness, your own joy, your own capacity to create miracles and do the impossible.
Yeah, and I think, well, just sort of the rhythms of African music, everything sort of comes from that, right? In a certain way?
You're absolutely correct. Melodies and rhythms from Africa are the healing force of the universe, along with love.
You guys, when you were working on Africa Speaks, you recorded 49 songs in 10 days. That seems nearly impossible. Do you always work that quickly when you're cutting an album?
That's very probable if the material presents itself, the musicians and the opportunity.
So what happened? How do you go about then? You've got these 49 songs. How do you go about paring them down to what's going to finally be on the record?
Well, we crystallize 11, 12 songs to be for just particular for this particular statement with Buika and Laura Mbula in this particular song. The other songs are in incubation right now. They're growing as we speak, and eventually we'll find other artists to come in and sing them and participate in them. I just feel really grateful and very honored that everyone trusted me. You know, the album is called Africa Speaks, but the main name on top of it is called Santana. So somehow people trust me to deliver the goods, to present enthusiasm, clarity, and genuine, sincere, honest, for real, impeccable integrity sound.
Yeah, when you talk about that, the album being called Africa Speaks and the name on top being Santana, I think that sort of sums up how I at least think of your music and your bands in the past, sort of a melting pot of bringing several different cultures together. So it seems very fitting to me.
Well, thank you for that. That is very, very precise and correct. Since I was a child, I always been drawn to African music because I feel that I'm kind of like Merlin with the magic wand, you know. With African rhythms, I can seriously create spells and conjure divine magic that heals people from being miserable to being happy, elated, uplifted, and brilliant.
Yeah, and you've been doing that for a long time. You've been an inspiration to, I'm sure, a number of Mexican-Americans and just Americans in general. Your story is quite fantastic. I want to talk about it being the 20th anniversary of your album, Supernatural. Where did the idea for that album originally spring from, for you to collaborate with all these other people?
It first came from this archangel named Metatron, and then we hooked up with Mr. Clive Davis, and he asked me, eye to eye, he said, do you have the willingness, that's a very important word, do you have the willingness to come to the ring with me, which means radio, because I see you live. Live, you're like a champion of champions, man. Your live is incredible. But to come to the ring and to discipline yourself for radio is a different kind of challenge. Do you accept the challenge? Do you have the willingness to go in the ring with me? I'll bring seven songs and you bring seven songs. I said, of course. And he immediately got on the phone, started calling Babyface and Lauryn Hill and Rob Thomas and, you know, Wyclef and everybody. And to my joyous surprise, everybody said, yes, we want to either write a song with them or write a song with him, or write a song for him. And that's it came from, eventually I have to give the credit to this archangel Metatron, because that happened before all this on a meditation.
Were you hesitant about collaborating with these other people, or were you excited to bring new people into the process?
Oh no, I was excited, never hesitant.
How did you go about then choosing who you were going to work with? Did you take suggestions from Clive, or did you come up with a list of people, or was it sort of a contribution from both of you?
Total accuracy, Supernatural was conceived mainly by Clive as far as the collaborations. He got on the phone and called people that he felt were perfect for this particular adventure. And again, to my grand surprise, they all said yes, they wanted to do it. But it was Clive Davis who initiated the phone calls with the artists.
And what was the collaboration process like with those guys? Did they come in and help you write the songs, or did you guys have stuff written, or was it different? It was probably different with everybody, right?
It was different with everybody. I'll give you an example. Like when Brother Wyclef came in, he flew in from L.A. He was just finished doing another project over there, and he came over to the studio, and he says, hey, man, record this. Put the microphone on. And then he came really, really close to my face. He got really, really close, looked inside my eyes, and he went, do. And he goes, yo, write this. He starts telling his posse, his musicians. He says, write this, man. And he goes, do. He starts singing, Mari. He started singing the song by looking at my eyes and my face, like my face was a chart. It was like a miracle. He just created the song right on the spot by looking at my face.
Wow.
I never seen anybody do that ever, man.
So
you know, I was like, man, you know, like my face was a musical chart, and he was reading it.
That's incredible. That had to be quite an experience working in that situation. As you're getting ready to go back out on the road, your new tour is going to be headed through Ruoff Home Mortgage Music Center in Indianapolis on August 9th. Are you geared up? Are you excited to go back out on the road, or are you getting a little weary of that?
I don't know the word weary or tired or bored or anything. There are certain words that I just don't allow ever in my brain. I control my brain and my mind and my brain, and I tell them what's allowed and what's not allowed. I don't allow anybody to mention the word tired around me, because you're dismissed. If you say that word, you be tired, because you're reflecting your tiredness on me. Go away. You know, what I bring is enthusiasm, the element of innocence, which is like thirst for adventure. We bring, again, enthusiasm and innocence as much as possible.
Well, I know we're all looking forward to it, and I'm sure it's going to be a great show. Santana, of course, one of the great live bands. You guys really sprung to national attention with your appearance at Woodstock. What was that like for you? Do you remember back to that day and what it felt like to be on stage in front of those 450,000, 500,000 people, whatever it was?
I think they call it right now, they say it was really far out, man.
Yeah, all right, that makes sense. How do you stay so positive? There's so much negativity everywhere you seem to look. Everybody's mad about something, or people are depressed. And just listening to you, just talking to you right now, there's a positivity and just a positive energy of happiness coming from you. Where do you get that?
The three words, as soon as I open my eyes, the three words that spark up is gratitude, deep appreciation, and thankfulness. I grab these three words like the next air in my lungs. It must be there so that I be alive. Gratitude, thankfulness, and deep appreciation. Those are the three words that, for me, keep me energetic.
Well, I hope more people can find that sort of mindset and find it within themselves, because it's just been a pleasure to speak with you. I mentioned earlier, you, of course, are one of the greatest guitar players of all time. Who are the guitar players you've admired throughout your life?
Oh, let's see, Segovia, Paco de Lucia, John McLaughlin, definitely Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I like anyone, woman or man, anyone that plays from their heart.
Are there any new musicians you're listening to right now, people you really dig, guitar or otherwise, just new music that you like?
There's a gentleman named Quinn Sullivan who Mr. Buddy Guy has been training. I also listen to Orianthe right now, and one of my favorites is definitely Derek Trucks, Gary Clark Jr. But there's some women that I've seen in Australia and New Zealand who are coming out like fiery warriors. I want to see more women playing guitar, and, you know, especially because they know not to pose. They know to tear it apart, you know, in a good way. You know, I love people who don't practice posing. You know, they don't practice what they do in front of the mirror, sucking their lips and looking kind of cute, you know.
Yeah.
I don't like that kind of stuff. I like serious, spiritual, joyous, genuine music. That's the music that we need in this planet right now to help heal it.
I think we're hearing a lot of interesting music actually coming from that sort of New Zealand and Australia area right now. And you are starting to see a couple of women really coming up who are very strong guitar players. I'm thinking of like Courtney Barnett and St. Vincent. Those guys are great on the guitar. So, you know, I think you're onto something there. You're spotting the trend before it's happening, maybe.
I'm looking forward to recording with them in the future.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Well, we're looking forward to hearing the new album. It is called Africa Speaks. It's out June 7th. I've heard a couple of tracks from it, and they sound fantastic. As always, your guitar playing is top-notch, of course. And just that melding of cultures that only Carlos Santana can bring together. Thank you so much for your time today, sir. It was a real pleasure.
Stay present.